Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm better now that I'm not dying of a heat stroke.
Yay! Jacob's here.
You can hear my fan a little bit get fucked.
Yeah.
I don't care about Jacob.
And the crowd goes wild. Yay!
Yeah, the thing about the intro is it's so awesome that this show hits its peak in the first 30 seconds and degrades from there. That is very true.
So the intro So it's like every sexual experience that you've ever had, Joe.
Yeah, pretty much. I've had a few good ones. Not many.
You lasted a minute. Good job.
Yeah.
I was the last one to blow on the cracker.
We're not going there. We don't need stories like that on this show. This is a high quality, high class.
Family friendly.
Family. Yeah, goddamn right we're family friendly. Fucking A, right, Cole?
Uh-huh. I'm just trying to understand the cracker reference here.
So
you've never heard of the cracker
or Ookie Cookie? So essentially, a bunch of guys,
bitch,
like,
we're going here.
A
bunch of guys like stand around like a cookie or something
that's
like
a
that.
Limp biscuit.
well, I've also heard it as a soggy biscuit from one of my friends from the UK. But yeah, so a bunch of guys just stand around and like they blow their load on like
cookie
or something like that.
Yeah. You don't have to continue the story. We already know.
I don't have my headphones on. La da 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 da. Get
right. I was doing it for our viewers who might not know.
Yeah, we know.
So Game Pass.
Game Pass is great.
Good old Game Pass is in the news. A lot of Game Pass, a lot of additions, a couple coming early in this month, a lot coming later on this month. Like, the second half of this month is fucking packed. Have you heard of all this stuff showing up?
No.
Well, we'll start early.
Well, remember, I've been, like, laying on the couch dying from this headache all day.
Yeah, true. Well, July 8th, we got UFC 4 and Tropico 6.
I did see that. I love Tropico. And it's on PC, too, so now I get to play it on PC.
Yep, and then Dragon Quest Builders 2 hit the cloud.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was unexpected.
Well, it's already on Game Pass, so now it's on the cloud.
Well, I knew that was on Game Pass, but I don't know. I guess I just didn't expect it to hit cloud. Why is my eyeball twitching?
I don't know. Why is your eyeball twitching? Next week, July 15th, we are getting, this will be exciting for you, Farming Simulator 19.
Oh shit, I already own it.
Well, now you could get a Game Pass stack on PC.
Wait, hold on. So Farming Simulator 2019?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a 2020?
No.
No, there wasn't one yet.
Yeah, wait, why would it be yet? Like, because it's 2021. Because of
Rona. So they're doing I think the next one's 2022.
Yeah, they're not they don't do it every year.
It's usually about every other, but this year I would assume we're not going to get one because of the coronavirus pandemic.
I think we're getting just like a premium edition of Farming Simulator 19 with all the DLC.
Yeah.
I think that's the only release they're doing this year.
Which is reasonable. I don't see any reason for them to need to break their neck. Those are actually good games, and they actually do a lot in between each release. So take their time.
Yeah.
That answered my question. Okay.
And then Bloodroots is hitting Game Pass.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Me neither, but it sounds interesting. And then and then this is cool. The Medium is hitting the cloud.
Good.
Yeah, so
I like the Medium.
Isn't that the show?
No, or the fucking game.
Oh.
You own an Xbox, you dork. You should know what games are on it.
Well, I don't know.
He gave you Game Pass.
To be fair, he doesn't have a Series X.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or S.
You have to have a Series X.
Yeah, you know, I don't get to watch Patricia Arquette whisper to ghosts.
Cole keeps getting quieter. Do you keep, like, falling farther away from the mic?
Yes, because I'm angry. just lean back in my chair and brood.
You know, Joe said we wanted to do a speedrun episode, so right now I'm trying to speedrun to see how quickly I can make Kill want to kill me with, like, laser eyes. So.
Yeah, she'll kill you soon. Second half of the month of Game Pass is looking crazy. These are all reported by other people. This wasn't on their official list of games, but July 20th is Chris Tales. July 22nd is Last Stop. July 27th is Microsoft Flight Simulator. July 28th is The Forgotten City, which started off as a Skyrim mod. Now it's its own game.
And then I love when that happens.
Yeah, and then July 29th is The Ascent and Omno.
Okay. Omno?
Yes.
What's that?
It's an adventure game.
Incredible. Yeah, they showed it during E3, and it looks great.
Is that an Xbox, like, that's not going to be available for Xbox One, right?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? Like, everything's available on Xbox One. There's only, like, 5 games that are only on Series X and S.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Chris Tales.
Those are on xCloud now, and you have no excuse.
Yeah.
Play that shit on your phone while you're taking a shit forever.
I don't have a controller. Well, yeah, I do, but...
If you don't have a controller, I'm going to beat your ass, because you got a controller through this show. It's like you don't have a headset that you got through this show. Going to whip the shit out of you.
Hey, I've got the headset on right now, so... I got that going for me, at least.
Yeah, it's not all good news, though. Some games are leaving Game Pass. UFC 1 and 2 are leaving EA Play, so they're coming off Game Pass.
Are those being delisted, do you know?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. On the PC side of things, Endless Space 2 and Downwell are leaving Game Pass. And then this is sad, CrossCode is leaving.
Damn.
Yeah.
I know people were really enjoying CrossCode.
Yeah, worth buying. If you have the money, utilize that discount now and pick it up and keep it. All right, PlayStation Now also has a lot of updates for July. They have a really nice lineup this month. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay.
It's only going to be on there until November 1st. And they clarified it will only be available via PS4 and PS5, not PC.
Wait, PS Now has anything on PC? I didn't understand.
Yeah, PS Now, you can use PS Now on PC.
Oh.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a PC client.
Fine. I already have a couple of PlayStation games I give a fuck about on Steam, so it's fine.
Neo 2, moving out. God of War is returning. Judgment, which is going to be on there until October 4th. NASCAR Heat 5, and then this one surprised me, Olympic Games Tokyo 2020. That just came out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's jumping on PS Now already, so that's neat.
They're probably trying to drum up excitement for it.
Yeah, makes you wonder if it'll hit Game Pass, too.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure when you sign with PlayStation Now, they're like, you can't be on Game Pass for a while.
Yeah, that is true. And I did forget to ask about it, or see if we could get a review copy about that. But
yeah, you got
to
stop bringing up reviews on the show. I'll slap you.
But I review games on this show.
You do not make requests on the show.
Well, no, I'm not saying, hey, Jill, by the way, I'm requesting the Tokyo game right now. Like,
we didn't get it anyway, so.
Well, I forgot to request it. And I was, oh my God, I hate this shit.
We didn't read it.
Wait, he quit? Did it work?
I quit.
The chat is going crazy.
My two favorite words.
Some sad news. PlayStation has officially removed Japan Studio from its list of studios and replaced it with Team Asobi. Japan Studio is best known for games like Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, Gravity Rush, Ape Escape, Loco Roco, Legend of Dragoon. So, like, all of Sony's big games, Japan Studio had a hand in, and they are pretty much gone. They've been downsized out of existence, basically.
Wow.
And they've been replaced with Team Asobi. They are the team that did Astrobot. So it's good to see them as a full-fledged team. The Astrobot games are fantastic all around. So I still think the Astrobot PS5 built-in game is better than pretty much anything else on PS5 at the moment, except Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. The Astrobot game is great.
That is, like, I keep hearing people when they mention PlayStation 5 exclusives, and I'm like, but there aren't that many yet. And then they're like, yeah, but Astrobot. And I'm like, come on.
No, really? Seriously, Astrobot, yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Now, the previous, what was it, Japan Studios, you said?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so were they the main folks who worked on Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, or did they just, like, help out with it, or how? Because, I mean,
it was under that brand. It was under that banner, that studio. It was one of the teams at that studio.
That, I mean, granted, I don't follow PlayStation news all that much. But I mean, like, those are, like, the ones that are, like, that everyone talks about as being, like, you know, like, I don't want to call them, like, almost like indie titles. But I mean, like, as far as, like, you know, like, the pinnacle for, like, those systems. The
artistic of,
like,
ones.
Right. Like, yeah. In terms of, like, artistic merit and stuff like that, like, those are the ones that get talked about the most. And for Sony to just gut it, like...
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they basically rebooted everything under the U.S. brand of Sony, and they're kind of quietly leaving Japan behind. And
that's a fucking mistake.
I know. They only have, I think, the Gran Turismo team, and I think one other in Japan still. Everywhere else is just worldwide studios or American studios. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's really sad to hear.
Yeah. Oh, well. NetherRealm Studios has officially ended DLC support for Mortal Kombat 11, and they are moving on to their next project. So after, what, 2 years of support for Mortal Kombat 11?
Yeah, and a lot of people think the next game is going to be Injustice 3.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, if we go by their patterns, I mean, it's, you know, they do Injustice and Mortal Kombat, and then, you know, Injustice, Mortal Kombat. So, I mean, I'm looking for another Injustice thing. Both my wife and I really enjoyed Injustice 2. I still play that every once in a while, even though, like, the clan system is dead. But, yeah, so that'll be cool.
My fingers are crossed. This is a pipe dream, but Microsoft swoops in, buys NetherRealm, and we get Mortal Kombat versus Killer Instinct.
That would be sexy. I may have just gotten a little chubbier, and my pants got a little tight, but...
Stop eating during the show.
Well, then how do you explain my hard nipples, Joe? How do you explain the nipples?
I think that would be a great idea for NetherRealm. I would love to see them...
My nipples?
Yes. I would love to see NetherRealm and Microsoft team up and do a new Killer Instinct. I think NetherRealm would do a great job. And why not mash it together with Mortal Kombat? Get something really, really cool and unique out of it.
Drink.
I mean, I think just that did. Would... Wait, what? Why are we drinking?
Because I said unique drink.
Oh, okay.
Someone doesn't listen to the show.
We've covered that. I listen when I do the fucking tweets. Cry baby. Anyway, crap, where was I gonna go with that? Yeah, I mean, I am a little bit surprised that Microsoft hasn't done anything else with the Killer Instinct IP. I mean, like, when did I get my Xbox One? Like, 2017?
Well, it was a launch title. I think.
So that's even farther back.
Yeah, Killer Instinct was, like, 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I mean, yeah. I don't... That would be nice to see somebody do something with it, but, I mean, if we could get, like, a killer, like, how Namco and Capcom are going to try to do Street Fighter versus Tekken and Tekken versus Street Fighter.
No.
Even something like that would be pretty cool.
I just want Killer Instinct to come back. It's such a cool IP. They were doing a really good job bringing in guest characters. I was hoping we would see a season 4. Who knows? Maybe the future we'll see a season 4 or a rebooted series. I just Make something happen. Stop sitting on these IPs, Microsoft. You have so many that you can use. Just
Viva Pinata.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Viva Pinata and Parasite Eve.
Well, you can get possibly one of those, but Parasite Eve, probably not.
You know what? You need to fuck off. Let my dreams be dreams, Joe.
Did you ever play the PSP one, Third Birthday?
No.
Oh, you can't be that big of a fan if you never played the PSP one.
I didn't have a PSP.
You should have got one just for the Third Birthday.
All I ever got to play was the original Parasite Eve. And that's what I've been asking for. I haven't been asking for any special Third Birthday version. I want the original, but I want it made for modern times, and I want it grody and grimy and gross and gory and cool.
And it'll be PS5 exclusive.
And Cole just wants to make her own with blackjack and hookers.
I would buy a PS5.
What?
Ooh.
We found the game.
And then I would sell that fucker again, but I would buy it for Parasite.
We found the game that would get Cole the jump to PlayStation.
Yep.
I'll be honest, there are two things that would actually make me buy a PS5. Mega Man Legends, like if they somehow made Mega Man Legends 3 for it, or if they rebooted Advent Rising and somehow made it like a PS5 exclusive or some shit. Those two I would buy a PS5 in an instant for.
I think Parasite Eve has a better shot at coming back.
Yes, it does.
Speaking of sequels that are actually relevant, Dark Souls 3 got FPS boost on Xbox today.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So now you can play it with extra frames.
You died with extra frames.
Yeah, die a lot. And then last bit of news I have is during Sony's State of Play event today, they revealed Moss 2. I was excited to see that. That's coming to PlayStation VR. And then Death Stranding Director's Cut will be releasing September 24th on the PS5 for $59.99. If you already own Death Stranding, it's only a $10 upgrade.
That's cool.
I'm cool with that.
PC?
Do you already have the features on PC? I think.
Oh, really?
Or
oh, maybe.
Or some of the features are already on PC. Some might be. I don't know. I haven't paid much attention to Death Stranding.
Hey, let me go look and see what my version of Death Stranding says it has, because I haven't got to play it yet, but I do have it. And I know I have the DLC.
The only thing that would make me buy a PS5 is if I had money for one.
Well, you're just doing yourself a service by not having the money for one. Because it doesn't have Parasite Eve, so what's the point?
That's fair.
PS3 does.
I don't know. Maybe I do already have this shit. Who knows? I have like the PC version.
The haptic triggers and shit like that are going to be PlayStation only, I'm sure. Unless they find a way to... Oh, no. I think some games already have haptic triggers on DualShock on PC.
Well, I was going to say, because you can use those controllers on a PC, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, that's the news I have. Jacob, I'm sure you have something.
I actually don't, because I don't have my laptop upstairs with me.
Aww. Cole, anything on your end?
Mm-mm. So Cole really? Lucked out on this one.
Yeah.
Neither of you have anything to talk about.
I've been
I don't remember black any of the hole news.
For days. So no.
Cool. Reviews then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Curved Space, developed by Only by Midnight, published by Maximum Games. Released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Switch version coming July 13th. Curved Space is an intense arcade-style twin-stick shooter that takes the classic formula and plunges it into the weirdest reaches of space. Battle cosmic space-invading spiders across curved landscapes where bullets hug the terrain while the horizon drops sharply out of sight. Jacob, tell us about your time with Curved Space.
So Curved Space is a shoot-em-up that pretty much, I don't want to say, to go so far as to say, like, reinvents the genre is, like, that's a bit of an overstatement, but it feels a lot different than the other ones I've played. And it's almost like a combination between Tempest and Mario Galaxy, if that makes sense. So, I mean, so it's like you're still playing like a 2D shoot 'em up, but the environments are in 3D, and like it's all sorts of like crazy ass environments that you have to hop around in. Like some of them are like they look like Mobius bands. Other ones are just like you're on this like column that's split into like multiple pieces, and like you have to like move around it to like the next area, and it's pretty wild. It's disorienting at first, but eventually, I got used to it eventually. Hopefully, our listeners who are interested in picking this up will too. But it takes a bit of getting used to. Thankfully, the game does hold your hand for the first few levels with it. Because as I said, it's pretty disorienting as like you're flipping over. Essentially you're just going up walls, going around a curve, then going down a hill. And I realize my description of it doesn't exactly do it justice. I recommend checking out.
The screenshots look kind of wild. This is one I really wanted to get my hands on myself, but I just haven't had the time to pick it up yet.
Yeah. I recommend watching some gameplay videos, deciding whether or not this might be for you.
I'm sure our buddy Carnage probably has a video up.
So you're going around and you have to blast all these bugs, and the game drops plenty of power-ups. There's a lot of different weapons that you get to use. Some are better than others. Some are like they shoot off multiple missiles. Others are like a shotgun kind of thing. There's also one where you have to charge up a laser. And you have to figure out what works for you. But at the same time, there's times where it's just like you don't get that option of finding out which one works best for you. And you have to make do with like the crappy, 2 minute, like charging laser. It doesn't actually take 2 minutes, but it seriously feels like fucking forever. Like as you have all these bugs swarming at you, and you're just like, please, for the love of God, just fire. Oh, God damn it. I missed them all. And then, so you just have to like keep retreating, like, and that's one of the things that I do like about the game, because you know when things get too hairy for you, you can retreat.
What? Some of the pancakes?
They're going to follow you, but you can like boost away as you progress further in the game. Your little ship does get more things like features that it's able to do. And yeah, it's just you move.
How's the performance? Is it a steady? Like, are the frame per second steady? Does it have any jitteriness?
There's no jitteriness to it. I'm playing it on an Xbox One. As I said, there was no jitteriness to it. Like the game never slowed down for me. But at the same time, I was also really focused on just getting used to each level, because the levels are. The first couple levels are the same exact thing because it wants you to get used to it.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, you're almost as concerned about the geography around you as you are the bugs. And so, I didn't exactly notice any of that kind of stuff. I mean, the controls make sense. They feel right. And the gameplay is pretty tight. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of challenge, to it. I don't want to say I died frequently, but I died
you
regularly.
Died frequently, yeah.
I didn't die frequently, I died regularly. But like it never felt like the game was being cheap with it or like overwhelming.
Aki in chat says the ship gets things it can do. Those are called upgrades. Say it with me. Upgrades.
Thank you, Aki. Anyway.
Not even on here yet, and she's tearing you apart. That's funny.
Wait, does she tear me apart, like, when she's on here? Damn it.
We all do, man. Again, you should listen to the show. It's kind of funny sometimes.
I listen to it while I'm doing the reviews, but anyway. So.
So, $20 on Curve Space. What are you thinking of this one?
My cheap ass says $20 is a little steep for my liking. However, I think fans of the genre I would recommend it definitely for fans of the genre.
Do you get your money's worth out of it? Is there enough content for the $20?
Yes. Yes, there's enough content for $20. I think I would have been more cool with 15, but 20 is fair. I wouldn't bitch too hard about it.
And it looks like they have a pretty solid soundtrack, so I'm sure that wasn't cheap to pick up either, getting a nice synthwave licensed soundtrack.
That's fair. And I mean, like, and there are multiple game modes for it, so I mean, there's plenty of, you know, like, there's the standard, like, there's a campaign, there's a rush, there's a daily run thing that changes. You know, so there's plenty to do in this game. So, yeah, you are getting your $20 worth with it. So I would recommend it.
Cool. Sounds good. And again, that comes out later on this month on the Switch, which we forgot to mention, there's a new Switch coming out.
Oh, yeah, shit.
That was a thing we didn't talk about, huh?
That's how fucking insignificant this new Switch revision is. Everyone was talking, oh, the Switch Pro, the Switch Pro, the new Switch. It has a 7-inch OLED screen and 64 gig space, but otherwise it's the same fucking thing. No improved processor, no improved RAM. It just has double the internal storage.
Joy-Con drift.
Yeah.
There was.
It has a better kickstand.
There was a tweet that I saw. I forget who did it, but I really enjoyed it. They were like, this week, the new Nintendo Switch has absolutely no improvements except for a shinier screen. The title that's most likely going to get announced during the PlayStation State of Play is actually no longer a console exclusive. I wasn't sure which one they were talking about, but whatever. anyway, and then their other thing was, an Xbox got All for One to do an ad for them. Who do you think is winning the console war?
It's been a rough week for the video game world. Like, everything sucks this week.
I'll be honest though, that All for One music video, I thought that was pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was awful. It was so bad.
The swag kids they sent out to go with it were incredible.
Yeah, but
we didn't get one. We're not cool enough.
Yeah, we need to make new friends.
Yeah, but Joe, the point of it was to be awful. Like,
yeah, I know.
Okay.
It was meant to be cheesy.
I know.
And it was delightful.
I'm just confirming that it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it for you, Jacob.
Thank God.
You know, I was actually about to be like, you know what, my final words today are going to be like, Cole, I hope you feel better.
No,
actually it was. Now it's just going to be like, yeah, Cole can go fuck herself.
Can't wait for her to have a migraine for the next 4 days.
All right, I'm not that
sure.
I'm not that terrible, but...
You know what'll make it better, Cole? Lip balm.
Lip balm. Wet pancake flavored lip balm.
Wet pancake flavored lip balm. That, again, we said this last episode, all you got to do is send an email to thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Get all the info on how you can get yourself one. Mm-hmm. It's $5 a stick or 3 for $10 shipped.
Hashtag not an ad.
I think that's a pretty fair price, too.
Yep.
So, yeah, Jacob, any final words?
Nah, I got nothing now, because, you know, now I want Cole to, like, stub her toe or something.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Fishing North Atlantic, developed and published by Myst Games. Released June 30th on Xbox One and PS4 for $29.99. Commercial fishing in North Atlantic. Discover majestic world of Canadian Nova Scotia while admiring the vast diversity of ocean life. Search for the ocean gold with upgradable fishing boats and various fishing gear as you progress in your fisherman career. Cole, tell us about your time with Fishing North Atlantic.
I'm going to take the compliment sandwich approach with this game.
Okay.
We're going to start off by saying it looks really good, right? It is a full-fledged fishing simulator at sea. I played the previous fishing game from these guys that was the Bering Sea, I believe it was, or something like that. It's been a while. It's amazing I remember it at all. But so this is a sequel. So it's another, you know, open world fishing, but this time it's in Nova Scotia. And they did a really good job with creating, you know, the physics for the water and the behavior of the boat and the fish AI. Now, what I want to complain about is that apparently they didn't learn any of their lessons from the last game as far as actual control goes. It's very clunky to move. It's difficult to actually select what you're trying to use. Like, if you're going to start using something, it's as simple as looking at it and pressing A to pick it up. But if you're going to stop, you have to hold over on the D-pad and wait till the bar is full. And even then, whether or not you put it down, it's kind of iffy. Just getting to your destination can be unbelievably slow and tedious, because if you're just starting out, you're in these tiny little boats, you don't go anywhere fast. And if you really want it to be a pain in the ass, you can turn on port patrol. And if you even try to go any kind of realm of speedy, the police will pull you over and give you a ticket on your boat. So I turned that off real fast because I don't have time for that kind of shit in my life.
Good stuff.
They have fast travel. You have to turn it on. Although, hey, if you're the kind of person who doesn't want fast travel fucking up with your simulator.
What do you mean you have to turn it on? Like in the settings?
You have to go into settings and flip the switch for fast travel on.
Weird.
And then you have to actually make it to the place the hard way first before you can fast travel there.
Well, that makes sense. So
it's not. Yeah, it's not like, oh, I turned on fast travel, now I can go anywhere. No. You're going to be driving there, and it's going to be slow. And good luck. Even slower if you have the police chasing after you. Woo! It's surprisingly frustrating, even with the options to make it a little easier. I actually, for the first time in a long time, got motion sick while I was piloting the boat, to the point that I passed controller off to Dave and walked out of the room until he got me where I needed to be.
Wow. So I should avoid this one.
Don't touch this one. And I get motion sick from time to time. Usually it's just a little like unsettling or whatever. But this one I was like full on, fuck, I might need a bucket. I'm sick. And even Sea of Thieves doesn't do that to me.
Yeah.
So I was not amused with the motion sick element. Actually fishing, again, it feels very clunky. It's just, the control scheme is not comfortable for a lot of it. There are a lot of different types of fish that you can get. You can, at one point I was fishing for swordfish with a harpoon. You can dredge fish for crab, and there's plenty of options. But you're limited to actually fishing within the confines of the in-game seasons for the fish. I both like and dislike this. I know I bitch a lot in hunting games that like, oh, you can't just go hunt whatever, whenever in real life. But in a game, just fucking let me go, right?
No.
So if you're looking for that authentic simulator experience where like you have to plan out your year, you have to plan out what equipment's going to be on your boat, where you're going to be and when, that's a good setup. And I applaud them for doing that, but it would be nice if maybe there was just an option to just fish for what the fuck ever I wanted to, and not have to forego it quite so simulatory. I when I want a fishing game, I want to just like sit on a creek bank somewhere with a stick and a line and get what I get. So when it goes like full-fledged into simulator territory, I'm a little more put off. David was actually, he played more than me because he was able to tolerate the seasickness aspect. But even he, like, struggled with the controls and actually managing the boat and everything. So, it's one of those, like, it has its promising side, but you have to really be that person that wants to play this game. It's not going to appeal to general fishing fans. If you like fishing games, but you don't like the simulator side, you're toast here.
So this is definitely the sim. It's not for the arcade fans.
Yeah.
$30. I'm kind of worried to ask. It doesn't sound like this is...
I think for most people, it's a deny it. But I think, again, if you're in that subset of fans who really like simulator fishing with like the boat mechanics and everything, then yeah, I could see passing a try it onto it for that. But it's just that for most people, it's not one you're going to pick up. And that's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be for everyone.
Yeah, doesn't have to be for everyone. I'm sad I didn't enjoy it more because I like when there's the opportunity to fish for unusual species. And so that was actually really cool, but it gets lost in all the clunky design flaws and the motion sickness for me.
All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Ender Lilies, developed by Livewire and AdGlobe, published by Binary Haze Interactive, released June 29th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $24.99. Ender Lilies is a dark fantasy 2D action RPG about unraveling the mysteries of a destroyed kingdom. On this sorrowful journey, encounter horrific enemies against whom a moment of inattention could be fatal. Overcome these hardships and seek the truth with the help of fallen knights. Got a review of this one from our friend Serlina, and this is what she's got to say in her email. She says, "Hello, SML lovelies, it's your girl Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Ender Lilies, Quietest of the Nights for the Xbox One, developed by AdGlobe and published by Binary Haze Interactive. Ender Lilies is an ARPG set in a world that has been consumed by the Blight, and it's your task to purify those affected, recover your memory, and reclaim the world. Let's get on to the review. You play as Lily, your beleaguered, silent, and amnesiac child protagonist who has just woken up in a world that she doesn't recognize. Naturally, she doesn't recognize anything because amnesia, but she's accompanied by a spirit called the Umbral Knight who's pledged his service to Lily. Now, if that doesn't make any sense, it's okay, I didn't get it either, so we're just going to roll with it. Most of the game's story is revealed through collectibles that you find as you explore, which is fine with me because I love collecting bits of lore, and it really does flesh out the world. The gameplay is pretty interesting. Lily doesn't actually do the attacking, her guardian spirits do. The first you pick up is the Umbral Knight, and you'll continue to find more spirits who have various different abilities. You can have up to 6 spirits equipped at a time, and you can toggle between 2 sets of 3. The nice thing that I like about this is that you can combine spirit attacks, which is pretty cool to see in action. You have to use your spirits wisely because each of them have a certain number of times that you can use their abilities before they need to be recharged, so some caution is warranted. Lily also has your typical platforming skills herself, like double jumps and dodging. Y'all also know how I feel about double jumps, and I'm happy to report that you get that fairly early in the game. Chris likes that too. You know, early double jumps. There's also a little hidden alcoves and secret passageways that you can find, so the minimap is decent here. It doesn't show you everything, but it does give hints on where those other exits may be. You can also find relics, which will enhance your stats. You can level up as you kill the baddies, and that's cool, but let's talk about the real shiner in this game, which is the graphics. The game is absolutely gorgeous. It's 2D, but I don't care. It's beautiful. The atmosphere of the world is constant, as it never stops raining, and you hear the rain everywhere you go. You get to see how the Blight has contorted this land and its visual splendor. Character models are also wonderful to behold as well, from the lowly baddie to the boss fights. The details put into the style of this game really do a better job at telling the story than the actual lore does, and it's rare that I say it. This game was a feast for my senses, and I was happy to indulge. A couple things I didn't care for. The combat is fine, completely serviceable, except for one thing. Lily's dodge is dodgy. The way the dodge is supposed to work is when an enemy attacks, Lily dodges underneath them to avoid the damage. However, you can't dodge while a spirit is beginning their attack animation, so it leaves her fairly open to get hit. The game also doesn't tell you that you're possibly in an area that you aren't supposed to be in. I'm wandering around, opening them up the map, and I stumbled upon a part where I'm like, oh, these enemies are real hard. I probably shouldn't be here. I wish there was a warning of some sort, plus the very first boss has double HP bar, which is highly annoying, but at least you know how to prepare going forward. Ender Lilies is available right now on the Xbox and other platforms for $24.99, and should you buy it, I give this a buy it, though I may be a bit more enthusiastic if it was about $5 less expensive. Still, I do believe you'll get your money's worth with a game that combines so many genres well, is challenging enough to keep you interested, and just blows your eyeballs away with magnificent visuals. I enjoyed it, and I think you will, too. All right, sounds good. All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is Operation Tango, developed and published by Clever Plays, released July 1st on Xbox One and Series X and S for $19.99. June 1st on PS4, PS5, and PC was also a part of PS Plus for the month of June. It takes two to save the world in this cooperative spy adventure. Pair up with a friend as agent or hacker with only your voices to connect you and work together to bring a high-tech global menace to its knees. Cole, how'd your time with Operation Tango go? Who'd you play with?
This was great. I played with number one, We actually played on two separate consoles in separate rooms.
So you weren't cheating the whole time, looking at each other's screen?
We actually didn't cheat.
Good.
although, to be fair, even with, like, cheating, like, there's still a lot, there's a lot of elements where you both have to be engaging with your particular side of the story. So, like, you couldn't actually, like, get up and walk into another room and be like, so what you got over here? It wouldn't work, because you would need to be engaging in a timely manner, too. this is not so much like an It Takes Two type of co-op where you have two people solving puzzles in tandem together, as it is more like We Were Here or We Were Here Too, We Were Here Together. That kind of gameplay is more what you're going to be looking for here. And they carry it out really well. First off, aesthetically, it's a gorgeous game. It looks really good. It's very... the color schemes are blue and orange. Somebody takes over as the agent. Somebody takes over as the hacker. Most of my gameplay I played as the agent because I liked to be on the ground moving around a little more, where number one was doing the hacking side more often. I really should have switched it up and played the other side so I could talk about it more, but you can kind of get the idea just from playing even as the agent. I'm like, yeah, well, I kind of got the idea, because a lot of it was like her asking me, oh, do you have an IP number so that I can hack this server to get you into that door? Or do you have, the funnier part would be like, she would know what kind of information she needed per se. Like, she'd be like, oh, this door, I don't know how to open this door. And I was just kind of roaming around because I have shiny object syndrome. And I'd be like, hey, look, a desk. And then I'd just be like rambling stuff off. And she'd go, yes, yes, that's what I need. That's what I need. And I like that it was.
So
it
who's the adult in this relationship?
100% her. 100% her.
Kind of figured.
I have very much, when it comes to games, our play styles are very different. She's very methodical. I think that's kind of why it worked with her playing the hacker mode, whereas I was playing as the agent, because I was able to just kind of roam and look around and be like, oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. And then, so one of the hardest parts was a mission where, like, there were these robot sentinels, and she could see on the screen which rooms they were going to. But I was actually on the ground, and the hardest part was like to navigate, you know, go left, go right, go left, go right, through the door so that I didn't get caught by the sentinels. And we tried that so many times because shiny objects are what they are. And I would just like, the screen said press RB to run. And I was like, okay. And so I'm just like busting through doors, and she's like, stop, 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 stop. It took a few tries to get through that particular mission.
Proud of you.
There are several different kind of missions you can choose. They are standalones. They don't really tie in together in any like overarching way that stood out to me anyway. Just more of a, okay, here's your scenario. You're going to go in and complete this task for this certain story.
Is there any randomization to anything, or is it going to be like, if we played together, it would be the exact same thing?
I don't know for sure. You know, we didn't replay any of the missions. We were just going through and playing them as they were. So that's a good question.
A better reviewer would know.
Yeah, a good reviewer, not me.
Yeah, we'll have to try this out, because now I wonder.
Yeah, it didn't dawn on me to check that for whatever reason. Well, I know what the reason is, because I'm heavily medicated this week. But yeah, damn, I feel bad now.
Shit, Joe thought of something good.
Damn, you're not supposed to do that, Bob.
Well, overall, tell me what you think. It's $20. It is available on Xbox, finally. It is available on PlayStation. It does have cross-platform play. What do you think about this game?
No, I easily give this a buy it. I had a good time with it. I will happily play it again with you to see if there were actual randomization, because I didn't think of that. But yeah,
the good thing is, you have it, I could just download the trial and play free with the friend pass thing.
That is true. You can use a friend code. It has the option to, they also mentioned that there's a Discord where you can go and find other people who have it to play with, or you can invite a friend. I don't know if the achievements work for a friend, because I was playing with number one and we game share between our two consoles, obviously, because we're in a house together.
I would guess no. I know it doesn't work like that for It Takes Two.
Most games don't work that way, but I can't vouch for certain, because she was popping the achievements since we technically own it. So I can't say whether you would or not, but I would assume it's safe to say no, you probably don't.
Yeah, I would guess no. If you want achievements, you got to buy it yourself.
Yeah, which that's is fine, because it's $20 and it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it, so grab it. Cool. Next game to talk about is Anna's Quest, developed and published by Daedalic Entertainment, released June 30th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $19.99. Dragons, witches, trolls, no one could stop Anna with her telekinesis, unorthodox use of torture instruments, and knack for improvisation, and the help of a shady fox, she just makes her way. She communes with the dead, shuts off local taverns' beer supply, and gets old ladies behind bars. Anna's Quest unfolds a hand-drawn grim tale with a good dash of self-irony. Cole, what is Anna's Quest? It sounds pretty good.
It actually really is. This is, Daedalic has a track record of throwing their weight behind really good point and clicks. So Anna's Quest is no exception to that.
Well, they made this one. They made this one. They didn't just sign this one.
They don't fuck around. They have a good, when you think I want a good point and click, you think I want a Daedalic point and click, basically. So Anna's Quest is right there. It ticks all the boxes for what you would expect. It looks good. It's fully voice acted. The voice acting is good. There were a couple of moments where the subtitles and the voice acting didn't line up, and that's a bit of a pet peeve of mine.
That's what Pernell and I were talking about last episode.
Yeah, it's just this, it gets me. It's a quirk. But, you know, it wasn't like anything overwhelming. There were also a couple of typos, and I assume that's probably localization that has resulted in that. Who knows? But those are minor things to fix, you know?
Yeah.
The actual story itself, really creative. Anna's in the woods with her grandpa. Grandpa falls sick. Grandpa says, "Promise me you won't go into the woods." And Anna says, "No, I've got to find a cure for you." And then she gets captured by a witch. And before you know it, you're talking to ghosts and feeding cheese painted mold so that they'll give you a key. And it's a point and click. It does what it's supposed to do well. You can press on the stick. It shows you all the interactable bits. Doesn't punish you for doing that, which is I'm always a big fan of. It's one of those that doesn't like grease you if you're just trying random things to come up with a solution. It lets you fuck around until you figure it out. It's really solid. It's one that like it works well if you're new to point and clicks, but it also is engaging and fun enough that if you're a fan of them, you're going to have a good time too.
And I like the fact that despite how dark it is rated E for everyone. So it's not over the top.
Yeah. It was never particularly like gory or, you know, it was just like, it was kind of weird. Number three was watching me play most of it, and she was just kind of like, "That's a little weird." And I was like, "I know, kind of, right?" And she was like, "That's kind of funny that it's weird, but, you know," it was never anything where she was like, "I don't want to see this," which is a lot, because she's kind of squeamish, and she will hide her eyes over most shit. So she was able to watch it and didn't freak out over it. So it is definitely, I remember I even told number one, I was like, this kind of feels like Frambo Light. If you've ever played Frambo, which is from the Little Misfortune devs.
Yeah.
It's dark. So Anna's Quest definitely has like that Frambo feel to it, but without being quite as dark and gruesome.
Cool. So $20 on Anna's Quest. What are you thinking of this one?
I'm good with giving it a buy. It played well, and I don't have any gripes about it.
Cool
other
beans.
Than just that that little pet peeve of not lining up voices with the words.
Cool. Other I'm going to throw this one on my wish list. This one looks cool.
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Cool. All right. Next up is Doki Doki Literature Club Plus, developed by Team Salvato, published by Serenity Forge, released June 30th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $14.99. Welcome to the club. Write poems for your crush and experience the terror of school romance in this critically acclaimed psychological horror story. Cole, what the hell?
Man. Doki Doki Literature Club looks everything like what you think a visual novel is going to look like, right? Lots of pastel pinks, and it's a romance, and it's very quirky, girly. And then it just, like, falls to the dark side very quickly. And I don't know how to talk about it without spoiling it, because the crazy shit that happens is what makes the game good. But also, if you know it's going to happen, kind of ruins it. So I got to kind of like tread carefully here. You start as your character who's been roped into joining a literature club by a friend of theirs. And, you know, you don't really want to be there, but hey, there were cupcakes. And of course, now that you're there, it's a visual novel. Visual novel things ensue. There are girls. They are giggly. They all have a crush on you. And you can basically just try to romance them. The way you romance them is by writing poetry for them. You can write poems that cater to each specific character. But be mindful of which characters you're going for, because you'll get different reactions from the other characters based on who you're trying to spend more time with. I don't think there's any such thing as a good ending in this game. It all goes pretty crazy. Oddly enough, I played a lot of the game. I played it, and then I played it with number one as she played it. She already knew. She had seen Let's Play, so she
knew the
story. So watching her play it was kind of different, because they actually actually added in like extra sub stories and stuff for the plus version. So that she was still running into a few different things she didn't expect, which was really nice. But we were giggling and like we started calling the game the Anxiety Marshmallow Simulator, because one of the poem prompts, like, it comes up when you're writing the poems, you don't actually, like, type anything in or anything. It comes up with lists of words, and certain words are tied to different characters. And I don't know why, but I was, like, just picking random ass words, and she was going along with it, and one of the first words I picked was anxiety, and the next one was marshmallow. And for some reason, these had very different effects than what we were anticipating. So now it's just, you know, we affectionately refer to the game as Anxiety Marshmallow Simulator. And you're going to have to play it yourself to figure out why.
Oh, jeez.
Because I can't spoil anything, but I do recommend you choose anxiety and marshmallow.
All right. Well, you don't want to give too much away. $15. What do you think of this game?
Not anxiety. I started to say anxiety marshmallow again. anime tins loses a point.
Oh, God.
The rest of it, I'm on board with, and I give it a buy it. It was actually a lot more fun than I was expecting. And they have some, you know, if you're just running for the achievements, then fuck it. They got all the skip text stuff that you expect from Adelaika visual novels. If you're just wanting that shit. But yeah, I liked that it took visual novel and all the tropiness of it and just kind of like threw it on its head, and I loved it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Glad you enjoyed that one.
Surprise!
All right, and final game to talk about tonight is called Zombie Army 4 Mission 8 Abaddon Asylum, developed and published by Rebellion, released June 22nd for Zombie Army 4 Dead War for $6.99, part of Season Pass 3 for $34.99. Abaddon Hope, all who enter the asylum, the nefarious Baron Umber is revealed as an occult mastermind and hidden away in a heavily fortified cultist territory. The only way in is through the catacombs led by a survivor known only as the Angel. Can the resistance reach the asylum, stop the Baron, and put an end to his evil? Or will the catacombs get a few extra corpses? Aki's here to check this one out, and I'm guessing that the catacombs got a whole bunch of corpses because you shot them all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I didn't leave anything alive on the map. But that's kind of how I play this game. I kill literally everything. I will backtrack just to make sure nothing else spawned in earlier areas, just to make sure I killed everything. And they sometimes do, just because they know I want to go back and kill everything. So...
All right, yeah. Well, Mission 8 of Zombie Army 4. This is part of Season Pass 3. We talked about Mission 7 a couple of weeks ago. How's Mission 8?
Well, this one has two levels in it. Yay, they're getting somewhat closer back to the original, like, 4-ish missions that the original ones had, like the rest of the campaign levels do. So, yay for taking a step towards that, because that is the right direction to go. The first level is a really long one, which, nice, if it weren't for the fact that once more they decided, Horde mode! Yay! If I wanted to play Horde, I would go to the mode that is literally called Horde. It gets updated with new maps every time DLC comes out. I would play that if I wanted to play Horde. In this one, you have to, you go... And you set something up, and then you have basically a timed survival horde, where you just have to keep killing things as they just keep spawning. And you can't leave the little area, because the game won't let you, really. There's absolutely no reason why it shouldn't let you just run off, but it stops you from doing that, because they want you to have fun playing Horde in the campaign instead of going to the Horde mode, and playing it there, where it belongs. But after that level, you get a really short level, sadly, but it's more in line with normal campaign missions. You just run through it, you got enemies to kill, you go past them, you just keep moving, you kill the things, you move, it's great, and then, sadly, it ends real quick, because it's a short level, and I was sad. Because I was like, oh, yay! Because I was hoping it would be just as long as the first one. It was not. I was sad.
Oh, well. Well, it is only $7. What do you think of this episode?
I don't particularly like Horde in the campaign. Because, again, there is literally a Horde mode that gets updated with the DLC with new maps. If I wanted to play Horde, I would go there. I don't like that. Like, there are some areas where it's okay, and it's okay in the campaign. There's one or two hordes in the entire campaign. That's reasonable. In the DLC, there's one in each. No. And when I say one in each, I don't mean one in the level. I mean one at each area where you have to do something. Each fucking objective has one. And that's just it's a bit much. Because it's like, that's a lot of Horde by the end of the level. That's, I probably spent in that first level 20 minutes or so out of like maybe 35 or 40 just playing survival Horde. Because it traps you in an area and it's like, now you get to do this. I'm like, okay. And it's like, That's not what I particularly find fun. Lots of people do find that fun. They set the zombie count to where it's like, oh, I'm gonna play alone, but I'm gonna make it act as though there's four people playing just so I get a fuck ton more enemies. And it's like, I don't like playing that way. I just like to get the story bits and to kill a handful of things and continue. So I really don't like the Horde stuff. But they are seemingly going back towards the original way of doing things with fun, proper levels. So at least they're moving towards the right direction. Hopefully 9, they will have figured out the right direction and fucking went there.
Yeah, I was going to say they have one more episode to right the ship and finish the season pass 3 with a bang. But I guess that is it for this episode. We'll come back to it in a couple of weeks when episode 9 comes out, and we'll chat about it then.
Well, along with this level, they also did add two other pieces to the season pass right around the same time. There's a young black man that you can play as who's like a Navy ship captain of a steamboat or something. He got a brand new outfit, which is technically considered a new character because it's a completely new skin. They get new accessories and stuff, which is nice because it's his second one, so he finally gets another one. And they added a new gun that I haven't really played with because I like the original guns because I have them upgraded. That's nice for those of you who like that, who want that. So yeah. I'll always play as June because she's cute. She's cute and she's Asian. Of course I'm going to play her. God.
Well, that is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Aki, thanks for being here. Thanks to Jacob for being here doing his thing. Cole, thank you for putting up with everyone.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what else to say. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Banana hammocks.
Like anything good to end the show?
No, I never have anything good to end the show with.